KZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Russian President Vladimir Putin with an urgent warning for Ukraine, threatening to use nuclear weapons if Ukraine uses U.S.-supplied missiles to strike inside Russia. This week marks 1,000 days since the Russian invasion of Ukraine. An attorney for two women who testified before the House Ethics Committee speaking out, Joel Leppard, telling ABC's Juju Chang, one of his clients saw former Florida Congressman Matt Gaetz having sex with a minor and that their testimony is not politically motivated.
This is not a political hit job. This is not an anti-Matt Gaetz stance per se. It is more that this is what happened to him. It's true. And they want the American people to know about this as they consider their future attorney general, potentially.
President Trump reportedly working the phones, trying to get senators to confirm Gaetz as attorney general. A homeless man is in custody accused of stabbing three people to death in New York City on Tuesday. This is ABC News.
I'm James Kelly with WBZH News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WBZH website at buzzofthenorth.com. For 910 WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. Wisconsin Attorney General Josh Call is pushing for stronger efforts to block robocallers. According to a press release, a coalition of 46 attorneys general are asking the Federal Communications Commission to improve their robocall mitigation database. The coalition says the FCC hasn't done enough to prevent bad actors from registering in their database, allowing those bad actors to submit unvetted information and face no consequences for filing false or misleading information. Call is a member of the Anti-Robocall Litigation Task Force. The Wisconsin Department of Transportation is reminding drivers to move over and slow down when approaching active roadside emergencies. According to a press release, there have been 60 emergency responders hit and injured by vehicles while working on the side of the road in Wisconsin over the last 5 years. Department of Transportation officials are also reminding residents that moving over and slowing down for emergency vehicles is required by state law. Governor Tony Evers has proclaimed this week as Crash Responder Safety Week. Authorities are investigating the cause of a Monday night explosion at a grain elevator on Connors Point in Superior. According to the Superior Fire Department, the explosion occurred just before 6:30 p.m. on Monday at the Viterra Grain Elevator on Main Street. Their initial investigation found that the explosion happened in a below-grade part of the facility and traveled up through the loading tower, causing extensive damage to the structure. Fire officials spent about 2 hours putting out hot spots, and nobody in the building was reported injured. One of the suspects in a high-speed chase involving two separate vehicles in Rice Lake has entered a not guilty plea. According to court documents, the 18-year-old suspect was charged with attempting to flee or elude an officer after being accused of leading police on a chase that reached speeds of over 100 miles per hour on Knapp Street in Rice Lake. Authorities say an officer attempted to stop two trucks traveling at a high rate of speed when they turned off their lights and sped off. The driver of the other truck is scheduled to appear in court on Friday. For 910 WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
The Bucks over the Rockets. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks making a comeback late in the fourth quarter to beat the Houston Rockets 101-100. Damian Lillard with the go-ahead points with 3 seconds left. The Bucks host the Bulls tomorrow night at 6:30. College football. Luke Fickell addresses why he fired his offensive coordinator, Phil Longo, with still 2 regular season games left to play.
The basic gist, what I told the team, it's not about play calls. It's not about points scored. It's not about touchdowns. It's moving forward with leadership. And that's, to me, what we have to do and why we're doing it right now.
NFL, the Packers host the 49ers Sunday after beating the Bears in Chicago by a blocked field goal on the game's final play.
You know, that's this league. And you look around the league, most of these games are going down to the final drive. You better stay resilient. You better keep fighting and have that never say die mentality. And I think that's what showed on that final play.
That's Matt LaFleur with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
We have a lot going on today. Showers this morning, then cloudy and very windy with temperatures falling into the low to mid 40s by later this afternoon. Tonight, breezy, 31. Tomorrow, cloudy, windy, scattered snow showers at a high in the mid to upper 30s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 51.
The Todd Alba Show.
If you haven't tried mindfulness techniques before, the idea is to take a minute, focus on the present, not the past, not the future. Be here now. You can do it in your car.
Please, not while you're driving.
I would say preferably not driving. Just take a moment and close your eyes and just breathe. Focus like on the breath coming into your body and out.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Iron Mike Tyson and Jake Paul, the YouTuber. They're likely, this is just me wildly speculating, might have been a wee bit of a gentleman's agreement. Try to make it look good, but nobody's actually going to try to knock anybody out.
I actually put a bet on that, and I bet it for Jake Paul to win, just because I knew it was staged. Mike Tyson was going to do what he's going to do. Clearly, obvious, he could have knocked him out. He just didn't want to do it.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Maggie Dawn.
Does it seem like the world operates like there's two different sets of rules? Rules for some people and then rules for everybody else? We discuss next.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Up North News Radio.
Good morning and welcome to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Hey, good morning to you, Calvin. How you doing, man?
I'm doing pretty good, Earl. How are you?
Well, I got up this morning, man. I was going to put on the long johns and I was looking for the mittens and the scarf and...
Save it.
For what, this afternoon?
Yeah, probably.
it's here. Well, it's Thanksgiving, man. It should be cold, right?
You know, when we were kids, there was snow by now.
Wait, I can't let this guy talk and people don't know who he is. People might just be joining in for the first time. Somebody told him, hey, there's these guys on and you should hear them. And they don't know who... You is. So let me introduce.
I is Sandy Williams.
Let me introduce the one and only my co-host, Sandy Williams. Sandy is on with me every Tuesday and every Friday. I'm so happy to always have him here as he adds balance to the show. You know, I'm a flamethrower, and he adds reason. Is it safe to say that?
Yeah, my tail feathers get singed.
All right, good morning to you, Sandy. How you doing, man?
Doing well. Went to the Bucks game last night. They pulled it out. Luckily, I think.
Sandy.
Actually, every bit about it was lucky, including the last play.
Sandy, they just aren't going to get out of this funk. It's who they are. This far into the season.
Halfway through the first quarter, everyone sitting around me, we were all talking about when we were going to leave.
I know.
Because...
They were losing.
They were losing 15-2, I think, or something. It was not looking good.
Well, you know, Houston was 10-4. They're a young team. I was reading where they've got four players who were all drafted in the top five picks over the last couple of years. That's going to be a star-studded young team. And I was watching the game, Sandy, and the athleticism, the Bucks look like you and I.
That's a delusion. But, they're getting old, obviously, and they're going to struggle. This is, you know, I'll be surprised if the same lineup is intact after the trade deadline. But we'll see.
I'm pretty sure Damian Lillard. His time is measured. He and Giannis can't play together. You would have thought they'd be able to play together, but they're two ships passing in the night.
Yeah, I mean, Lillard has not been the player he was ever since he got to the Bucks. You know, and maybe it's because he needs to shoot a lot to stay in rhythm, and he doesn't get the ball a lot because Giannis has the ball a lot, and I'm not sure Lillard is the guy to bring the ball up the court. And, you know, the whole thing doesn't look like it works. So, you know.
You stole my thunder.
Oh.
Yeah, you stop stealing my thunder. you're right. Both guys need the ball.
Yeah.
And so who's going to bring it up? Giannis needs to bring it up to be effective.
My theory is somebody other than those two ought to bring it up. Solve that problem.
Well, yes.
Yeah.
But I was watching the game yesterday, and time was running out at halftime. Lillard's on the court. You know, Dame time, a guy who's got a history of hitting big shots at the end of the quarter in games. Giannis has the ball in his hands. And he's dribbling around at the top of the key, and time is running out.
Yeah,
and he throws it to another guy.
Yeah, AJ Green, yeah. for a covered contested,
yes,
shot. Yeah, I know.
And the ball didn't go, and Lillard is the guy who should have the ball, and Giannis didn't give it to him. So they're going to have to make the decision. There's some good trade targets out there. They're going to have to do that.
You should call Mr. Horst and get this settled.
Well, I think what we'll do is we'll call the president. We had him here in the studio last week.
And, Peter Fagan.
Yeah, he's a good guy. And get Peter Fagan back in and see what he says. But anyway, got a lot to talk about this morning. We're going to do, as we do every morning from henceforward, we're going to do the Politrickster of the Day. And Sandy helped me select the Politrickster of the Day.
It was super low-hanging fruit. this person is going to be a repeat, I'm quite sure.
But Sandy, mm-hmm, all joking aside, there's a lot of things going on, and you and I got into this conversation, I don't know how we got there, about misconceptions that people have with freeloaders.
Well, I think it had to do with the waste, the conversation, you know, this Doge committee, the one that's named after the Bitcoin that both Elon Musk and Donald Trump, I think, expect to make a lot of money on the side out of the cryptocurrency. But they named this Department of Government Efficiency that's supposed to slash $2 trillion out of almost $7 trillion annual budget that's called waste. And so then the question is, well, what's waste? You know, I think for a lot of people, we decided waste in their mind is something that constitutes the handouts that they think the American public is getting that is coming out of their paycheck and it makes them angry. And so we did some research to try and figure out, okay, what does this handout look like and why do people think it's a handout? When you look at the eligibility, for instance, for food stamps, SNAP, and we've had callers who call in, and right now you pointed out, I think, what the agricultural bill is stalled, you said?
Yeah, the farm bill is stalled because conservatives and Republicans want to cut the SNAP budget.
Because SNAP, the old food stamp thing, people think, well, that's a handout, that's waste, you know? And so, you know, we'll talk about it. But when you look at the eligibility, who is it that gets SNAP benefits, and what does that look like? And does it really look like a handout when you figure out the eligibility for it? And it definitely doesn't. The income eligibility, I've got it here, the income eligibility for food stamps. So the net monthly income for a household of one to be eligible to receive SNAP benefits is $1,215. So that's about, for a household of one, that's about $14,000 a year. So if you make $14,000 a year or less, you'll get SNAP. If you have a family of, if you have a household of four, then the after-tax income is $2,500 a year. $2,500 a month, which is $30,000 a year.
That's a family of four.
Family of four. Supposed to feed themselves, house themselves,
clothe themselves,
transportation. Everything comes out of that 30. Well, the government has decided that you can't make it on 30,000, and the way they provide them support is the SNAP program, okay? And I'd be curious if the callers think that those eligibility numbers are too high, that they think that food ought not to be supported for these families. And then the question is, how much SNAP benefit does a family of four get when their income is less than $30,000? And we can look that up, but I'm confident that the SNAP number that those that family gets would surprise people as being way too little to actually support all the grocery need food needs for a family of four.
Well, what I would say to you is talk to the food kitchens. Food kitchens that are even in Waukesha and other places that you would think they aren't and that they wouldn't be.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you look at the soup lines, Sandy, we're talking about soup lines in the wealthiest nation on earth, and we've grown accustomed to watching people in food lines.
And incidentally, that $2,500 net income after tax a month for the family of four is the definition of the poverty line. And you pointed out that something about the Milwaukee School District, I think you said that.
So the average 60% of the students, the children of Milwaukee Public Schools, live in poverty.
So they live in a family that is at or below the poverty line.
Absolutely.
So, I just think that people who are calling this a handout don't understand the struggle that a bunch of these people have. And I'm confident that a family of four would not be restricting the amount of money they earn down to $2,500 a month so that they qualify for SNAP. These are people who are working and working at the job, the best job they can find, and still qualify for SNAP.
So if you're just joining us, I'm joined by my co-host every Tuesday and Friday on the Earl Ingram Show, none other than Sandy Williams. And so, Sandy, as we're talking about this, our phone lines are open at 855-752-4842. This is really critically important, this conversation, at a time when Donald Trump has selected two guys, one guy worth, what, $300 billion, and another guy, Vivek Ramaswamy, I don't know how many billion, is billionaire?
I don't know, but the two of them obviously are people of great means. I don't think either one of them has experience with anything like huge government programs. You know, I think everyone in the United States would like to make sure that the United States government is run efficiently, which means cutting waste out of the process of delivering the services that the American public has decided it needs to receive from government. Those services should be delivered efficiently. But what they're talking about is cutting $2 trillion a year, calling it waste, when obviously that isn't waste. That's entire programs. If you cut 15% out of the programs to streamline the way that programs were delivered, you wouldn't get anything close to anything like $2 trillion.
Well, you know, Sandy, I talked a little bit yesterday about Vivek Ramaswamy, and he said entire programs will have to be eliminated.
We can talk afterwards. Yeah. He has an idea about that.
855-752-4842. We're going to talk about the elimination of entire governmental programs under, you know, Vivek Ramaswamy, Elon Musk, and, incoming President Donald Trump on the Earl Ingram Show. I'm joined by my co-host, Sandy Williams.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
There was a time when barbecue was perfect. A strong, reliable flavor that could be counted on. But then big manufacturers decided that barbecue needed to be zesty or spicy or sweeter or whatever. If you miss the good old days of great tasting barbecue, we'd like to introduce you to Grandpa's Barbecue.
Made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Buy yours online today at grandpasbarbecueshop.com.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Mike Siegel joins us now to make our popcorn pick of the week. Hey, Mike.
When I was a kid in the 70s, there was no Walmart. There was no right. Sears was everything, from our tools to all our back-to-school clothes, everything else.
Pants, stereos, kitchen appliances. Do you have pantyhose? Yeah, they're right next to power tools on second floor. It's like you really could get everything there.
Everything.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
What I know about courage, I learned from my adoptive mom. She said sometimes you just gotta hold on and know we'll get through this. Mom, we are so high up. Hold my hand.
No, you hold my hand.
Here we go.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
The Dom Salvia Show.
I had somebody recently in one of the classes I was teaching saying to me, I don't do politics, Mr. Santa. I don't spend all my time watching MSNBC and reading the opinion columns. I get that.
You might not do politics, but sooner or later, politics is going to do you. Yeah. You got to have some basic level of understanding of what government is about and how it functions and a little bit of the history of it.
You need to do enough.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
You're listening to WBZH, Hayward's home for the Todd Allbaugh Show.
Nappy Roots.
Yeah, I've heard of them. You know, the lyrics.
Yeah.
And the children singing those lyrics. Very powerful, very impactful, right?
Yeah, but the music I picked today is like, you know, the politics has been a dreary subject, but, you know, you can't take the joy of the day away from us. So the music today is all designed to be sort of the joy of a day.
All right, so welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show, as always. You can join us at 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. I'm joined by my co-host, Sandy Williams, and we were talking before we went on break about the realities of what's really happening in this nation that many people may not be totally aware of.
Well, I think the reality we were talking about is the actual reality about many of the services that the government provides, which some people have in their mind conceived of as being handouts, so that when this DOGE department, which is not a government department headed by Musk and Ramaswamy, was formed by Trump to cut waste out of the government, I think many people pictured waste as being, for instance, handouts, and that these handouts have to stop. And one of the programs that's frequently mentioned about that is the SNAP program. And when you look at the actual SNAP program and the eligibility for it, you realize that the people who are eligible for it are struggling mightily and would have a great deal of trouble feeding the family. And should government play this role? That's the question. And the government has played that role for a long time. Ramaswamy, before the break, you mentioned that Ramaswamy had talked about cutting out entire programs. Yeah, he's pointed out that when the government authorizes programs, most of them have a time period for the period of authorization. And when that time period expires, many of the programs are continued on an annual basis by simply being included in the budget for the next year. And so I think what he's proposing is that the Trump budget terminate all of these programs who by their own terms have expired and force Congress to reenact them in order to get them going again. But understand that this is hundreds and hundreds of programs and hundreds of billions of dollars of expenditures that are handled this way. Now, I have no problem with the notion that Congress ought to annually review the things that are included in the budget to figure out whether they ought to be there. Because that's what a budget's for, right? Presumably that's what it happens in each budget. But to just take a hatchet to these programs and to implement that kind of a process, I think is a meat axe that will be very chaotic for Congress and very difficult for them to deal with. And presumably what we want to do when we cut waste out is make sure that programs that we need to deliver to the American public are delivered efficiently, okay? That doesn't mean eliminating the program. That simply means making sure that it's streamlined. And some of the programs we have that are the biggest expenditures are really very streamlined. So Social Security is a very streamlined program. Cutting those checks does not, no one talks about waste at headquarters for Social Security. Medicaid is a very streamlined program. It's just cutting checks to cover the cost of things that are deemed to be approved for Medicaid coverage. Same with Medicare. So the biggest expenditures made by the U.S. government are delivered in a streamlined fashion. What's within those programs might need to be evaluated in order to cut any significant amount of money out of it. But we should realize that evaluating those programs and cutting money is cutting money out of Social Security, out of Medicare, or out of Medicaid.
So let me lay down some facts. You know, I have a son that's bipolar and schizophrenic. And for the last 25 years of his life, he's been receiving Medicaid.
Medicaid, and he gets SSI, right?
Social Security. So yeah. Medicaid, what he gets out of Medicaid is if he needs to go to a doctor, he has coverage.
Yes.
Social Security, he gets, he's 46 years old. He was diagnosed as schizophrenic and bipolar at the age of 20 years old. He was at UWM with a 3.3 GPA and mental illness struck him and us. And so he gets $1,100 for that provides room and board for him. He gets $23 a month a week.
Food stamps.
$23 a week. And then he gets another check for $25.
And he's totally disabled. He cannot work.
No. He's bipolar and schizophrenic.
Yeah.
And he is certainly going through all the tests. You don't fake out people and do this in order to live off of $1,100 a month. It just doesn't make any sense, right?
Right.
And so people may believe, I remember when he first told me he was getting $23 in food stamps. I said, yeah, it can't be. There's no way possible they're going to give you a week $23 worth of food stamps. No, and that's a month. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
A month. Food stamps are $23 a month.
Well, he's expected to get both room and board coverage out of the $1,100 a month that he gets for SSI. Right?
That is correct. But they don't provide clothing or any of those things. Certainly, his sustenance is because he's my son. Mm-hmm. And because I pick up the rest of that, as any parent would for his disabled child who's in a position to do so. But this misconception that all of these people are lounging around living in the lap of luxury is just not true. And it needs to be dispelled. And so all of those people who are buying into this and continue to buy into this really, Sandy, don't know what the hell they're talking about.
I think the people who think it's wasteful ought to evaluate the standards for eligibility for all these things, because the eligibility standards mean that people are really between a rock and a hard spot in order to qualify, so that the people who qualify for the SNAP program are at the poverty level for a family of four, okay? And it's remarkable that we have 42 million Americans eligible for food stamps, meaning that we have 42 million Americans living at or below poverty.
42 million Americans struggling in this nation. We're going to talk about that on the Earl Ingram Show.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
For 910 WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers and the Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection have announced the results of a study showing the state's consistent agricultural growth. According to a press release, the University of Wisconsin study showed over $115 billion of economic impact was generated from agricultural and food processing sources between 2017 and 2022. That's equivalent to about an 11% increase from prior years and represents over 14% of Wisconsin's overall economic output. Wisconsin Republican Senate candidate Eric Hovde has officially conceded the race after raising election integrity questions in Milwaukee and considering a recount. Senator Tammy Baldwin won her third term in the election by less than one percentage point, which would have allowed Hovde to request a recount if he paid for it himself. In a social media post on Monday, Hovde said a recount would not have found evidence of the supposed impropriety without a court order. The Milwaukee Elections Commission called Hovde's claims baseless in a statement last week. The U.S. Navy Blue Angels will be returning to the region for the Duluth Air Show over 4th of July weekend. The air show is scheduled for July 5th and 6th at the Duluth International Airport, with the world-famous Flyers returning to the area for the first time since 2023. Officials say the show will begin with the demonstration of a Lockheed Martin plane nicknamed Fat Albert, before a six-plane F-18 flight demonstration called the Delta and a four-plane Super Hornet demonstration called the Diamond. Tickets for the Duluth Air Show are available online. Enbridge Energy could face a new legal hurdle after obtaining DNR permits for the Line 5 pipeline relocation project last week. Attorneys with Clean Wisconsin say they're planning to challenge the issuing of the permits, as critics say the relocation of the pipeline around the Bad River Band Reservation rather than through it could still have a negative impact on local plants and wildlife in the event of an oil spill. The DNR permits were approved with over 200 conditions, and the company still needs permits from the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers. For 910 WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Paul Mescal's star is on the rise. With the release of Gladiator 2 this coming weekend, that should continue. According to Variety, the Gladiator will be the featured host on Saturday Night Live December 7th, which means he has officially arrived. Mescal will be the Late Night Institution's first guest the week back after the Thanksgiving hiatus. That week's musical guest will be the genre-bending musical artist Shaboozy. Kevin Costner fans are desperate for Kevin Costner to finish his four-part series Horizon, an American Saga. The source? Kevin Costner. Costner assured fans that Chapter 3 was on the way a few months ago, but that was before Chapter 1 underperformed at the box office and distributors pulled Part 2 from theaters and sent it right to the stream. Costner didn't sound as confident more recently when he told Deadline in the last few days he is hopeful Chapter 3 will still get made, giving the vibe he is tired of his own project. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
We have a lot going on today. Showers this morning, then cloudy and very windy, with temperatures falling into the low to mid 40s by later this afternoon. Tonight, breezy, 31. Tomorrow, cloudy, windy, scattered snow showers at a high in the mid to upper 30s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 51.
The Todd Alba Show.
Managing editor of E-Bombs World, Mr. Peter Rapine.
Google this week released a new product, the new AI overview. If you Google search, can I use gasoline to cook spaghetti? Google says, no, you can't use it to cook spaghetti, but you can use gasoline to make spicy spaghetti dishes.
Not recommended. Do not do that.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Lena Bloom for The Bail Project.
Imagine you're stuck in a jail cell and you can't afford bail, and someone offers you a way out. Just plead guilty and you can go home and kiss your kids goodnight. What do you do? What thousands have. You plead guilty whether you are or not. Cash bail makes poverty a crime. That's why the Bail Project helps those who can't afford it while fighting to end cash bail. Because freedom should be free.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, an updated version of All the Best People. Paul Trebian will be here to talk about the holiday folk fair. And we'll wrap it up with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesday's with my co-host Sandy Wiggins and Sandy the Music.
Yeah, just sort of a day of sort of joyful music. Welcome the day, regardless of what's going on around you. We all have the benefit of waking up and coming upon the next day, maybe accepting it with some excitement.
You know, and if you're just joining us, we're going to do one more kick at the cat for what I say is the misinformation that has gone around for far too long in this nation about all the people who are getting handouts. And if somehow, Sandy, you said 42 million?
Yeah, when I was looking at this, 42 million people are eligible for SNAP. And SNAP, it's not an insignificant program. It costs $111 billion a year. But when you divide that by 42 million, and when you realize that 42 million people in America are living at or below the poverty line, that's a sad commentary on the economy. And it's 42 million living below the poverty line at a time after we've experienced 4 years of what Trump called the great economy and 4 years of the Biden economy, all of which have been extremely prosperous periods, but we've been unable to raise up the standard of living for 42 million people, which is a pretty significant percentage, 15% of the population.
I'd also say, Sandy, that the misconception is the welfare queen is a black woman with 4 or 5 kids, you know, around her and who doesn't work.
Yeah.
That's not the case.
Well, and I think in any case, if you just evaluating human nature, I don't think anybody is avoiding work in order to qualify for what they get out of these programs, because what they get out of the programs,
bare minimum.
It doesn't allow them to live satisfactorily. So, you know, I think it's a sad commentary actually that we have that many people living in poverty. That's the main thing, the takeaway that I get from looking at all this.
All right, let's go to CJ. Good morning to you, CJ. You say what?
Good morning, Earl and Sandy. Thanks for taking my call. You know, as I listen to you, though, I think back a couple of years, 3 years, and during the campaigns, we heard how great of economy we did have. Now, all of a sudden, the inflation that went to 9%, and then now it's back down close to 2%, it hurts the lower-income people the most. And that's why people were screaming about it, that the spending, the government, and right now we're running at a $2 million or $2 trillion deficit. That means if you had a checkbook, you gentlemen wouldn't write and bounce checks the way our country is.
We weren't talking about, if you want to talk about deficits, that's kind of a different issue. But, I mean, obviously deficits are a function of the cost of government programs and the amount of revenue brought in. The Trump era averaged almost $2 trillion a year of deficit over its 4 years, almost exactly. So, like I said, when we're going to pin the tail on the deficit donkey, it also, you have to pin it on the elephant as well. There is a need for discipline in Washington fiscally, for sure. But fiscal discipline comes in the form of revenue as well as expenditure cuts. And we were simply talking about the notion that yes, we need to streamline government and make sure that it's efficient, but we shouldn't take a hacksaw to it that makes the lives of people much more difficult. And these 42 million people who are living in poverty are not living there because of the inflation. Inflation might have pinched them more than it pinched people who have lots of money, but it's not why they're there.
You know, these are American citizens, and I don't understand. They're not the enemy, but people have made them the enemy. And so I just, for the life of me, don't understand that, man.
The country, okay. Republicans have said, they're criticized, we got to do something about Social Security. The people who depend on Social Security
is going to have their benefits cut because it's going broke. The $2 trillion deficit. And, you know, you want to deflect, Sandy, and go back to see who spent what and who did this. We listened to you gentlemen say how great the economy was.
No, actually, CJ, we've never said that it was meeting the needs of, and we've talked about the architecture of the economy and the problems of middle-class America and Tom, Dick, and Mary. We've talked about that every week of every month of every president that since Donald Trump, as well as this president. So, no, what you're saying isn't true. But, look, Donald Trump won the presidency because many people were angry about the situation and they blamed the incumbent, okay? And that happened around the world. It's, you know, every country in the world that had an election, the incumbent lost, whether they were a liberal incumbent or a conservative incumbent. And it happened here as well. And I think it all relates to the fact that there's a large middle class that is not experiencing the prosperity that's being experienced in the country. I just think we ought to be watchful to make sure that the programs that this new incumbent president proposes deal with that issue, okay? Because that is an issue that middle class America and lower middle class America is suffering, and it's probably the reason Donald Trump got elected, but the programs that we're talking about don't necessarily meet their needs.
So I ask you, CJ, does Donald Trump have a plan to fix it? You know, you keep saying that Joe Biden and inflation, you know, as if it's the reason that these people are there. They were there before Joe Biden became president. They were there when Donald Trump was president. They were there before Donald Trump became president. So what are the plans that Donald Trump has to fix their ills, CJ, or does he have any?
Well, give me just a second. The ills already started. The October Department of Labor numbers, 12,000 jobs created. So you're warning about how bad Trump is going to be for us. Well, we're telling you.
Hey, CJ, CJ, let me say this to you. Sandy, the robust jobs outlook over the last 4 years that have been created are astounding.
No, look, but all of this is a deflection from the issue we're talking about, which is not the question is what programs are we gonna have, or what are we gonna do for Tom, Dick, and Mary that relates to the tight budget they face that causes Americans who earn $110,000 or less a year to live paycheck to paycheck. That's from the Wall Street Journal polling. That's not politics. This is now just practical problems faced by Tom, Dick, and Mary, and whether government addresses that or not, or how we address it. But it needs to be addressed.
Well, the only entity that can address it is government.
Well, that's the way you address something en masse, at least,
right.
other than admonishing everyone to pull up their bootstraps, and that doesn't necessarily work. So, you know, I think what we've got is just the notion that we need to have our eyes open and be realistic, not just to have talking points to combat one another, but to say, okay, Tom, Dick, and Mary have a problem. Let's agree on that. Now let's talk about what it is that we can do about that. You immediately jump, CJ, to the notion that you have to cut Social Security in order to save it. Well, not taxing Social Security, which is something that Donald Trump is proposing, takes money out of Social Security because the tax on Social Security under the law that was passed by during the Reagan administration takes that tax and puts it into Social Security. And so that will make Social Security even more fragile, number one. Number two, you know, we can talk about making Social Security people of substantial income less eligible for Social Security. That might be not very painful. But the only real solution to Social Security that people who do sort of economic actuarial analysis of it is that you have to increase the revenue side of it, which means removing the ceiling on the tax for it. So, you know, Social Security needs to be addressed, but the knee jerk doesn't have to be eliminating Social Security benefits.
Well, it's going to be done if they don't do something about it.
I know, but CJ,
can I finish a sentence? The Republicans say we may have to raise the age of Social Security, or it's going to change for these 20 and 30 year olds, but something has to be done. And the Republicans offer solutions, and the Democrats demagogue them for trying to do something.
Well, that's ridiculous.
No, actually, CJ, let's just talk about that, because the Democrats have proposed raising the ceiling on the tax on the FICA tax, okay, and the amount of income that's subject to FICA tax, which is a flip side solution to this. They also have not talked about removing the taxation on Social Security, even though that I think the people who receive Social Security would very much like to receive that benefit. But the fact is that removing it will make Social Security even more fragile economically. So I'm just saying, why don't we just talk about it realistically instead of saying we and they? I've tried to stay away from that in terms of the discussion of the remedies of it. It's not we, they. It's like, okay, what are the options? Which ones do we do?
Well, then what are yours? What are the Democrats?
Well, he just told you what the Democrats.
I just told you what the Democratic plan was. No, and if it's not a Democratic plan, what's my plan? My plan would be to create an income eligibility for Social Security so that people with great wealth don't have to receive it. Number one. Number two would be to increase the ceiling on the tax subject to the FICA tax. That would increase the revenue very materially. Those two things would have a very profound effect.
George W. Bush offered means testing, and it was criticized the same way he did for health insurance. And I'm saying both sides demonize it, but it's not getting solved. So Trump brings in people and offers something different because it isn't working, but something has to be done. And Vivek and Elon Musk have obviously know how to run businesses and create wealth. Well, we need to create wealth in this country because that creates jobs. Lowering taxes will create money to the treasury, just the way Ronald Reagan did.
Hey, no, actually.
Hey, CJ, thank you very much for the call.
Let me just straighten that out, though. There's never been a verification that there has been, in fact, a trickle-down effect, number one, or number two, a material increase in the amount of revenue derived, gross revenue derived by the Treasury as the result of tax reductions. So it's all been speculative, and people have not been able to roll up their sleeves and prove that effect.
Well, so CJ may be willing to roll the dice with Ramaswamy and Musk and Donald Trump with other people's lives at stake, but I'm not.
Well, the point about that is that to say that Ramaswamy and Musk will do it is like saying that Donald Trump is a good businessman and he's going to solve the problem without discussion. Because Ramaswamy and Musk have not discussed a single program at this point. All they've talked about is some ways that they're going to try and implement a process for eliminating what they call waste and using a dollar figure which no third-party observer thinks is achievable. So they've got a benchmark they've set of $2 trillion out of a not even $7 trillion budget. It's not possible.
So we're going to talk about these programs, the civic jobs that are going to be eliminated, predicated on what Vivek Ramaswamy and Elon Musk are talking about. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesday with my co-host Sandy Williams and you on the Earl Ingram Show.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Up North News Radio.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Bunny Minute and a quick hack for setting and reaching a money goal. Try the SMART system for organizing your approach. S is for specific. What exactly is the goal? I want to save a down payment to buy my first house. M is for measurable. How will you know when you're done? I want to save $50,000. A is for achievable. Well, I'm going to have to cut spending in a few places, but I can save $1,000 a month. R is for relevant. Raising my kid in a home that we own is important for me and for her. I want her to grow up in the same place if we can afford it. And T is time. How long is it going to take? I think I can do this in about 4 years. Thinking through each of those letters is a great way to set yourself up for success when you're making money plans. For more tips on saving more and spending less, head on over to workmoney.org. Till next time, this is Carrie Joy saying take good care.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Stuart J. Waddles. I've been into like pistachios. Now they sell them shelled. That's probably my favorite movie snack for when I'm at home.
Are you getting paid by Big Nut? I don't know of anybody that has pistachios during a movie.
Listen, I would love to be paid by Big Nut. I could do cough drops during movies if people would pay me.
Yeah, let's redirect here because this could go bad.
Yeah, this guy, I think it already has.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. That's 855-752-4842. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesdays with my co-host Sandy Williams and you. Let's go right back to the phone lines. And we're talking about, you know, programs that people in this country may not know much about. And, you know, and people have been led to believe that there are many freeloaders in this society, and we can't afford, you know, to keep, you know, using our tax dollars to help freeloaders. And Sandy and I are really kind of pointing out that, hey, the people that people have this misconception about are just sitting back waiting for checks and living the life of Riley is absolutely not true. Let's go to Tom from Richland Center. Good morning to you, Tom. You say what?
Hey, thanks, guys. I'm 71. I started working when I was 14. I paid in Social Security every check ever since. And the idea was it was to pay for the people who needed it right then. And then when I got older, people who are working right now would pay for me. And, you know, that sounds like a socialist idea, but, you know, maybe that's not such a bad idea that we work together. But when you think about it, out in Richland County, 42% of the people over 65 depend on Social Security for basically their entire income. They might have some little side thing like selling some eggs or, you know, something, but they don't have big pensions. I'm also lucky enough to have a pension from a construction company. It was a defined benefit plan that pays me for the rest of my life. But that was switched over to 401ks where you get to play the market. And every time they privatize any of these things, including what they're talking about now with Social Security and all, they take a big cut out all the time, and the fees alone, just the annual fees, are enough to get rid of the profit that you could gain if it was in a savings account. So it's a manipulation. People shouldn't put up with it. The people who voted for these people are the ones that are going to suffer the worst.
You know, Tom, before you go, man, 42% of the retirees are living solely off of Social Security.
Well, I mean, that's, yeah. I mean, for a broad scale America, there are many, many retirees in America who live on Social Security.
I know so.
It's a vital source of income. And, you know, for an America where the American dream prevailed and where they were able to maybe own a home and accumulate some wealth, it suffices. But for current America, many Americans who aren't able to own their own home and have to pay rent all the way through the period of their retirement, et cetera, it gets much dicier to live off of Social Security. So, you know, I think the people who talk about waste have to have a humane side to understand what it is that these programs are providing, what the standards for it are, and what's happening in the American economy that's prompting people to rely upon some of these programs. And they need to keep that in mind as they think about the solutions to the fiscal problems. Because we do have a fiscal problem. We've had irresponsibility in Washington since George Bush II had a big war and decided to reduce taxes and write checks based on credit card debt. We've had that going on now, for the U.S. credit card debt, for a long time, both sides of the aisle. But when we start making government lean, we better be as responsible as possible about that as well in terms of which programs survive.
Hey, Tom, thank you very much for the call. Let's go to Gary from Sussex. Good morning to you, Gary. You say what?
Well, like your last caller, I've been paying Social Security all my life. I'm 72.
Well, so have I, Gary. Now, so what?
Yeah. All right. Well, let me just finish. Now, as far as millionaires and billionaires, you guys, not you guys, I would say, but Democrats basically just want to tax the living daylights out of millionaires and billionaires, which are the millionaires that gave me a job to learn how to do sheet metal, become manager, and then owner of a business. Those are the people that these guys are multi millionaires, and to me, they gave me a job, and not along with about 80 other people got good jobs, and we're all doing well. Okay, now as far as cutting,
wait, Gary, just so we truncate the conversation, that happened when, in the 1970s or 80s?
I started doing sheet metal in 72.
Yeah, okay. So
in the 70s, these people who were millionaires, I just want you to know that the division of wealth in the United States in 1973 was way different than it is today. And the people who were wealthy in the 1970s were nowhere near as wealthy when you compared them to the rest of the population as the people today are. So the disparity in income and the disparity in wealth has magnified many, 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 many times since you experienced were the beneficiary of a business that provided you with an opportunity. I just wanted you to know that policies have contributed to that huge disparity, and that huge disparity isn't necessary in order to be for Tom, Dick, and Mary to be the beneficiary like you were of a job.
Well, can hardly hear you with all the music.
Well, you can come back.
855-752-4842. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesdays with my co-host Sandy Williams. And so we're going to add something to the conversation on the other side. We're going to talk about, immigration and what the outcome of the policies of Donald Trump is going to be on the Earl Ingram Show.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Matt Nair on air.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Kim Shevchik and the Doctors in Recital into the studio. Then Civic Media's own Melissa Kay joins me to talk about her new show, Community Stories. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 till 8. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Tom, your thoughts.
I don't believe that people don't know who Trump is at this point, and they have willfully decided to ignore everything he has said in order to vote what they think is the most important thing. And that's what voting is all about. But you can't claim ignorance when it comes time that Trump is going to pull the trigger and do some things that are going to hurt you and your family. That's what's probably going to happen.
Yeah.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
This is the Buzz of the North, WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.